Hi, my name is Lawrence. I'm a grateful recovering sexaholic from the Washington, D.C. area. Sobriety date is April 4, 87. This room is certainly a lot bigger. I don't get it. We had the shortest moment of silence I think we ever. It was supposed to be a minute, but anyway, just trying to get my thoughts together and feel connected here. Just surrender my desire to say the right thing and be a hit and just connect with you all. I'm glad to be in Chicago. This is my third conference here. And I've had a lot of good experiences in Chicago, and I think you got a great fellowship here. Honesty, recovery from self-deception. I don't like preparing notes. My sponsor is here, and he hates if people use notes. And anyway, I don't normally use notes, but I just wrote down a few thoughts I had on this topic. I think the main tool I use against self-deception is putting stuff on paper. and that's just half of it. The rest then is to share it with somebody else. So I'll just share a bit on how I've made some progress over self-deception by putting stuff on paper and by sharing it with other people. I'm a sexaholic. My drugs are, masturbation, porn, affairs, and the possibility of affairs, basically, and other stuff. I think honesty. I need other people to help me get honest. Honesty gets us sober, we say, and tolerance keeps us sober. The first kind of breakthrough I had in honesty was writing a letter to a therapist, trying to describe how screwed up I was. I think that was the first time I kind of looked into myself and said, well, you know, why am I like this? And I've got my health, I've got my faculties, I grew up in a reasonable family and got a good education, got a good start in life. You know, why can't I, why am I drinking the way I am? I got into a lot of trouble with drinking. That's what got me to my bottom and got me into this program. And anyway, that was the first step. And then I got into residential treatment, and we did family histories, and that was more writing. That's not the same as a fourth step. I did a fourth step then when I came out and I got into my AA group, and I said, well, I did all this stuff already. And they said, nah, I do a fourth step as well, you know. And I did it from the AA Big Book, and the AA Big Book, I think, is all about resentments, you know, why I am the way I am, you know, why my thinking is the way it is. It's kind of interesting how 20 years later, when Bill wrote the 12 and 12, it was all about sex. You know, does that say something about Bill's progression? Anyway, it certainly did mine. It took me a while, of sobriety and AA to even look at my sex conduct. Bill, in the 12 and 12, he says, in what instances did my selfish pursuit of sex damage other people and me? And in the Big Book, it was all about resentments. You know, I'm resentful at so and so on. And that this was the progression I needed to get as honest as I could be with myself, or to do it that way. And I did a fifth step in AA, and that, by doing that, getting honest with another person, I got pointed in the direction of SA, because my AA fifth step was all about my sex exploits, stuff I couldn't share in AA meetings. And my sponsor said, the person I did this with, he says, did you ever hear of this new group out? He said, and I said, oh yeah, Adult Children of Alcoholics, I go to that. He said, no, this is another one. And anyway, to make a long story short, about 6 weeks later, I was at my first SA meeting, and I said, oh, so this is what he was talking about. You know. So my fifth step in AA was my first step in SA, and I did a fourth step in SA as well, and a fifth step in SA. You know, it's a program of action. I was looking at the white book this morning, and I just opened it up on page 97, Making the Wrongs Right, Steps 4 through 10. And the thought I had was, you know, I can't make progress in self-deception, or I can't work the amends steps without making progress in self-deception. If I go... If I go to another person and make amends for the past, you know, that's any one-on-one, anything dealing with another person, interaction with another person is a big step in honesty and looking inward. So, you know, I did make amends. I'd never made amends that I didn't run by my sponsor or somebody to find out the exact nature of what I was making amends for. And I do work a step 10 daily. I write a daily inventory, and that's really a great help, especially in the workplace. I need to put it down on paper. I need to, and share it with another, because I just don't trust my thinking. I come from a family of paranoid thinkers. My father was very paranoid, and thinking people were out to get us, and people trying to put one over. And you know, I take stuff personally that I shouldn't. And anyway, writing really helps on that. And meetings, going to meetings and checking in the morning with other sexaholics. That's really my program of how I work it. So for now, I'll shut up and turn it over to Farley.
Thank you. Farley, grateful recovering sexaholic.
Hi, Farley.
Honesty, recovery from self-deception. Getting honest with myself is the hardest thing to do in this program. Finding that I was cash register honest was pretty easy thing to increase my level of honesty there. I was doing everything right for everybody else. My dishonesty was with myself and what I was doing or not doing for myself. It's very easy for me to be a caretaker and try and take care of everybody else in the world. I can fix anybody else's problems, and it relieves me from looking at my own. If I'm busy with your problems, I don't have to deal with myself. And that was my great escape. I also found that I am very intuitive, and I can see through walls at times and absolutely understand the basis for everybody's problems. And so I went about curing everybody and ran into problem after problem after problem in my own life, and found that this great ability I have to think through everybody else's problems was really my biggest failing. I ended up in what's been termed a paralysis of analysis, where I spend so much time in my head trying to get these things figured out that I come out with such great pronouncements that nobody really thinks are great. And it causes me for a little more self-reflection, which puts me back in my head, which is the worst place to be. I was in this other meeting, this guy had this great line. He says, when you're stuck in your head, you're behind enemy lines. So that's a great line. I find for myself now that the best way to get out of my head is to be of service to other people, to not try and solve your problems, but just do for the program and do for the fellowship what I can. And I've got myself involved as an alternate delegate. I've now become a delegate for the Northwest region, and I go about trying to do God's work. Well, every time I get into a new situation, of course, I know what's best. Right? So I want to go in there and state my case. And time and again, I'm humbled. And that's the great thing that this program is doing for me. It's humbling me daily. It's humbling me every time I step up and I say, this is the way it's got to be. It's not the way it's got to be. God shows me another way. So I have to get more and more honest about why am I here? You know, why am I in this fellowship? And what is it I need to be here for? Sure, I'm a lost addict, you know, and I've put it down for a number of years. It still creeps in around the edges. I found a number of different techniques to deal with it. But the real basis for this is I have an ability to convince myself that I know what I need to do. And I'm sitting in front of you today saying, I really don't have a clue. I know there's a number of things I have to do to stay sober today, but what is the right thing for me, I don't have a clue. And I can be so full of self-deception that when I first looked at this and I was plugged in for chairing meetings, hey, I've been plugged in to chair 3 meetings. Oh, I must be great, right? That's why they picked me. No, they picked me because I need to be of service. And this is the only place that I can really get some help, is that I'm here to serve others. And I don't want to take up too much time. There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of good sobriety in Chicago. There's a lot of good sobriety at this convention. I've heard so much already that I'm not going to take up a lot more time. I'm going to turn this over to you to talk about how honesty and recovery is working in your life. I'll just say one thing about this, is that the way for me to get the most honest was to absolutely lead with my top plate. Lead with my weakness. Lead with where I need to get current about me today. And I came to Chicago here and I did a fifth step last night. It seems to be, you know, when I come to conventions, I have a long-distance sponsor, and he demands we deal with some stuff face-to-face, and I don't know why we just don't have coffee or, you know, a meal or something together, but no, let's deal with that crap that I keep talking to him about. So it was very humbling. Great Farley is not the general manager of the universe again. I've been fired once again. So with that, I'm going to open this up for anybody else in this room to get honest. And I'll simply ask that as we try and move things along, that the next person that's going to share kind of come and stand behind this chair. Person is going to share in the chair. The next person behind the chair, so we can speed this up. So we're going to limit this to people who have been sober for 30 days or more at first, and then we'll open it up to anybody else after that. Was there a question from the back? It's good. Can we have the first person, please?
Timer will ring after 1 minute.
Oh, and the timer will ring after 1 minute. These two gentlemen over here, if you get this sign, or you get a couple beeps, your time is coming to an end.
Hi, I'm Bob. I'm a sexaholic.
Hi, Bob.
The honesty thing is so important for me because I'm convinced that without it, everything I do in the program is just useless. I have a pretty sordid past, and I could be completely honest with every one of you guys about what I've done in the past. No problem. I could tell you the darkest things I've ever done. I could tell you some of the things I wished I had done or planned for the future, in a sense. But right now, what I'm dealing with today, when I go to my meetings at home or when I talk to my sponsor, that thing that tugs at me right now, the struggle, boy, that's hard to deal with. That's where I have a real problem with honesty, is in the here and now. Saying to my sponsor, wow, I was looking at stuff on TV I shouldn't be looking at. Why is that so hard? For heaven's sakes, all the things I've done in the past, and yet right now what I'm doing today is somehow, oh boy, I can handle that. So that's my struggle, and it's a red flag for me about being honest. It's today I have to be honest. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name's John. I'm from Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'll have a year on Tuesday if God helps me get there.
Hi, John.
And, you know, I thank you all for the shares. Lawrence mentioned resentment, and for me, resentment was the most active part of my addiction in terms of being able to lie to myself and justify the horrible things I was doing to my wife and my family. But it was all good because I had reason to do it. I had resentments that I had nurtured from day one of my marriage. And allowed them to grow into something really, really healthy and strong to support my rationale for doing what I was doing. This morning I had what I would like to call the muffin epiphany. As I gain sobriety, I can actually see those resentments, which I couldn't see before. This morning I was eating a muffin from Starbucks. Thank you, Starbucks. And I could taste the oil in it. My wife, whenever she bakes with applesauce instead of oil. And now I can taste the oil in my recovery. When it's bad, I know it's bad, and I'm grateful for that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
Bruce from Wisconsin. Self-deception is about lying to myself. In my head, I often utter the four most dangerous words a sexaholic can ever utter: I can handle it. And that is always a lie. Most recently, I've had an experience where I had a relationship with a woman in a volunteer situation where there was no lust, and she asked me out. And my immediate response was,
I can handle it.
Then I talked to my sponsor. And a bunch of other guys, and they assured me that I can't handle it, so no, I did not accept the invitation.
My name is Ted. I'm a sexaholic. In our home group in Metuchen, New Jersey, we start off by each person introducing himself and saying what their MOs are. I start off, my MO is I am a pathological liar. That is my addiction. Everything else is second phase to that. I am a pathological liar. Page 58 of the, there must, I don't know, other guys are shaking their head. There must be other guys in here like that. I don't know. I thought I was the only one. On page 58 of the Blue Book, where Bill W. starts this whole thing, what we're supposed to do, he only speaks about one thing: being rigorously honest with myself. And that's my challenge every single day. I struggle with it. It's not easy. I've been in the program for a while. But being honest with myself, first and foremost, is the most difficult challenge I face every single day. If I'm honest with myself about why I'm looking at somebody, why I'm talking to somebody, why I'm standing next to somebody, why I'm doing anything, then I have a chance to be sober and live the real life that I choose to live. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Doug. I'm a sexaholic. And I was really drawn to the topic because honesty is the thing I've struggled with in my entire life, it seems, from about age 10, when I think I started using. So I'm glad to hear the things I'm hearing today. I realized as standing all the way in the back that honesty was the beginning of my recovery, my sobriety. I have a chronic slipper for 15 years. And my oldest son and I went to an NA meeting. He's a active heroin addict in 05, and he didn't know about my addiction. He knew I was in AA, and some guy was getting a 10-year chip up there, and he nudged me, and he's like, "That's you, Dad," you know, because I had some years in AA, and it just, it was killing me because I was less than 24. I mean, I was not sober. I hadn't been to a meeting in a year in SA. So I took him back to my apartment, and we talked for about 3 hours. I told him what I was and where I was, and that was Thanksgiving Day 05. I went to a meeting the next day, and I realized that I can look at that. That honest moment was a beginning for me, and honesty, I mean, it, for me, it started there, and a lot of things happened since then, but I realized that that was a real turning point. I honestly couldn't do it anymore, so thanks.
Levi, sexaholic.
Hi, Levi.
In sobriety for about a year and 7 months. I couldn't use that big word, but I said I was a professional liar. Because I was sexually abused, came to my memory when I was 5 years old by my babysitter, and I've been lying ever since. And so I don't even have to think about lying; I just lie when I open my mouth. And it's a problem that I have, is thinking about not lying when I talk to keep straight. Because for 60 years I've been a liar, and that I can remember. So to be honest is a daily fight for me after all these years, trying to stay straight, trying to keep it clear. And even I'm a liar when I don't open my mouth. I'm just not even talking. I'm lying because I'm not talking about something I should be talking about. So I'm grateful for this meeting and grateful for this this recovery and essay. Thank you.
My name is Brett R. I'm a grateful SA from Peoria, sober since, but not well, since March 08. I guess I feel like I don't struggle with overt dishonesty with my feelings because I'm just basically ignorant of that. I medicated them for so long, I don't even know what they are. What I'm dishonest about is my need for other people in the program, and I guess I really resonated with the comments that were made about wanting to fix people and point the direction and misdirect and, you know, focus on other stuff. And so for me, the self-deception is really that I've got my stuff together, or just being in tune with that, and I really need the mirrors of the people in the program and program literature to point that out to me. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Craig, and I'm a sex addict.
Hey, Craig.
Honesty. It's been very difficult for me. What got me up here at the moment is the fact that I'm honest with people when I'm interacting with them, but when I'm isolating, I'm not talking. If I'm not talking, I'm lying. If I'm not giving out that information, I'm lying by abstention. And I do that a lot. And that was a recognition from the previous session I was in, that I wait for a cue to give an answer. I don't give information freely, and then recently divorced, I'm living by myself now, and I'm not communicating. I'm not being open and honest at this point, and that's not really very willing. I just need to put that out there. Thank you.
Bob, gratefully recovering sexaholic from Toledo, July 2nd, 2008. Honesty has always been something I've struggled with. Even after 2 years in recovery and sobriety, the justifications and the rationalizations in my mind try and deceive myself. Most honest thing I ever told my wife was, I'm a liar and I'm a real good one. But the program helps me to start seeing my own deception to myself. And in seeing my own deception, I become more and more uncomfortable with it. And then it's up to me to act upon that and gather the strength through my higher power to come clean and be honest with my wife and those around me. Thank you.
My name is Joe, and I'm a sexaholic.
Hey, Joe.
I've been in the program for 6 years, but I still struggle. And honesty, recovery from self-deception is what I struggle with the most. In my time in the program, I've learned a lot of very useful tools, and I do use them from day to day, but I deceive myself. I've somehow managed to manicure my life and the responsibilities in my life, whether it's at home or at work or what have you, to enable me to continue lusting on my own free time whenever those opportunities appear. And I have to be honest. You know, I haven't been using the acronym HOW, honesty, openness, and willingness. I only use it to get by to the next episode. And for me to be honest, I have to admit that I'm sitting on about 12 hours of sobriety right now. And, you know, I had to come here, act out, and, you know, get honest with that. Because if I can't be honest here, there is no hope for me. So I have to thank the people in the crowd and the people I've been talking to that have given me hope to put a stake in the ground. Does that mean I'll be sober tomorrow? Absolutely not. But, you know, I can be sober for right now. Thank you.
Hi, Ken Sexaholic from New Jersey. I'm also a reconstructionist. I can take just about any event that's happened to me and reconstruct it in my head in my own way. And I know that my best thinking has brought me here, so in a sense, I have to do the negative, and if I don't want to do it, I probably have to do it. The phone calls and the writing down has helped me keep myself honest, or more honest, I should say. After about a year in the program, I had an event in one of my works, working transactions, and one of my clients suggested that I had been dishonest with him, and this, you know, really hurt my pride. I talked with my sponsor at that time, and he asked me to reach in my pocket and took out my coin, to thine own self be true, and made me think about how much I do reconstruct things, and I have to look at my part in that. And that was my first time I went back to this person who I'd worked with some time, and I made an amends to him because of the possibility, because right now I can't trust myself to be honest, and I have to understand that that's where I'm at. And if I'm painstaking about this phase of my development, hopefully I'll be able to improve. Thank you.
My name is Nick. I'm a recovering sexaholic from Milwaukee. And I just want to speak about what has helped me as far as rigorous honesty. I believe what has helped me has really been the pain of my first step. When God, in His grace, picked me up out of that, it provided me the opportunity to not only be obedient because I had to, but now be obedient because I want to. I want to honor my God with my recovery right now, and just to surrender some things. There's a relationship, not a dating relationship, but a relationship that I'm involved in with a female in Milwaukee, and I made an amends to her, and just need to surrender any fear surrounding what she may think of me or her other friends may think of me, and I'm struggling just a little bit with some of the Essanon members here at the convention, so need to give that away too. Thanks.
Thank you. My name's Cliff, and I'm addicted to lust.
I'm terrified right now, so I'm facing my fears. Honesty has been the hardest part for me. It's been a death blow to my marriage. My wife is leaving me because of the dishonesty, and I've begged my higher power to reveal to me why do I struggle with honesty. And in that moment, he really spoke to my heart that I have this fear of rejection, an intense fear of rejection. And I learned growing up that peace is better than truth. And I've maintained a peaceful unreality in my relationship with my wife because I'd rather have peace and I'd rather her like me and not reject me. And that's kept intimacy out of our relationship. And my higher power revealed to me that his acceptance can heal that rejection. And my phone just went off. I have reminders that go off every few hours in my phone where I have to remind myself I am accepted by him and he will never reject me. And his is the only acceptance that I need. And if I swallow that, I know that I won't fear rejection from any human or any woman, and that I don't have to lie because I don't have to fear rejection. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Alan. I'm a sexaholic from New York. I really didn't want to get up here. I've shared at the last meeting, and I said, all right, just do something you don't want to do. So when I first came in the program, being honest about my thoughts and my behaviors were really tough, and they've been getting easier as time. But my rigorous honesty that I have difficulty with is my honesty always goes to the negative part of me. I looked at this woman. Oh, I'm no good. I'm a sexaholic. I'm worthless. And to have the honesty that I'm okay and I'm deserving to be sober today and I'm deserving to be loved today and I have some good qualities today, if you asked me to talk about my good qualities, I would have a real hard time being honest. And I do have some good qualities, and I just have a hard time being honest with that. That's also honesty. You know, it says to thy own self be true, not to thy own self be negative. And I really struggle with that. And I have to come and just say that, you know, I'm a kind person, I'm a good guy, you know, I'm not the worst guy that I know. But I believe that every day when I get up, I'm no good, and everybody thinks I'm no good. And then, of course, I go to the other side. No, everybody thinks that I'm great, I'm the best, but in my head, I'm the worst. And that's also not honest. It's not true. I'm not the best. I don't believe that. I'm not the worst. That I started to believe. You know, I'm just okay. So I just want to say thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Jan. I'm a recovering sexaholic from Germany.
Hey.
Honesty is the most hardest thing for me. I often lied about my sobriety date in front of SA friends, and that's what's me pushing into loneliness. I have to be honest to get sobriety. So if I'm not honest, I don't pick the phone for a call because I think, okay, if I'm not honest, I don't get the chance for sobriety. And that's the reason why I absolutely have to be honest. And I lied so much. Last week I dated a female colleague for a soccer match and watched the soccer match together with her and not with my girlfriend I'm engaged to. And that's what. And I didn't tell this anyone before, so it's hard to me to coming out with this, but I did, and thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, my name's Jim from the Arlington Heights, Chicago area. Great for recovering sexaholic. Honesty's always been a huge issue for me. And my counselor said, you know, not only do you need to be honest with yourself, but you need to be honest with your wife. I looked at him like he was nuts. You know, he said, all right, I want you to check in every night with your wife about your feelings and about your day and your and honesty and your thoughts. And I shook my head and couldn't believe he wanted me to do this. But I need to surrender, right? I need to accept and surrender. So, you know, I did, and it's really helped me out a lot. I've been doing it about 6 months now, and, you know, it's been great for me. You know, it's a lot harder to be honest with her than anybody else. And, you know, I feel if I can do it, it works really well. And, you know, I still struggle, and, you know, but really what I learned tonight is self-deception, because I'm really, really good at destroying myself and not being honest with that. And listening to you guys talk tonight has been really good for me, because I, you know, I struggle with that self-deception, and you know, that's where I'm sitting with tonight. So thanks.
Thank you. Just want to mention this time that anybody with less than 30 days can also get up here and share.
Perfect, because I only got 4. And that's what I came up here to share, because Lust doesn't want me to share with you that I've been
Hi, Mike,
sexaholic. Thank you. I've been in this program since March of 07, and I only, quote-unquote, have 4 days sobriety today. But you know what? I don't really feel the shame that I used to feel around that, because I'm in a room full of sexaholics, and you guys must understand that I'm powerless over this thing. So I can tell you this and not get judged. So it was important for me to get up and say that, because that's the very thing I didn't want to say. I just wanted to kind of walk around this convention and let everybody think that, you know, I'm great and I got lots of sobriety. I don't. So thank you.
I'm Jeff, sexaholic, Arlington Heights group. I have a couple things to share. One of the benefits of this program that I value is, I used to be two people, and I was a very dishonest, and I lied. And the first time in my life I ever felt like one person was in this program, and that's one of the benefits I cherish. And honesty, I have to be honest to stay, and when I start self-deception, start lying to myself, start lying about things, I start splitting. I feel that split, and I hate it, and so it brings me back. The other thing I want to share is sadness I have over my daughter. I can relate to a share earlier about, and I have it too, the fear. You know, I lie out of fear. And she's doing that. She's, and it's. I can see her spiraling downward, and it's very saddening. And I think I passed that on in some way. The last thing is, I listened to I heard this thing on the news about 2-year-olds. There's only like about 10%, I think, of 2-year-olds who have the capacity to lie, and they found that those 2-year-olds who can lie are, it's an indication of intelligence. They're the more intelligent. So I'm not sure, but I may be in the room of genius here. I don't know.
My name is Charlie G, and I'm a grateful recovering sexaholic.
Hey, Charlie.
My middle name used to be Deception. Not anymore. This program has taught me that this is a weak program. I used to think that because I was in the program a long time, I didn't need a sponsor. And I come to realize that this is a weak program. If I want to work this program the way my higher power wants me to, I need a sponsor. And to think that I can be in this program without a sponsor is my ego. My ego and my deception mixing in there. So I have to learn that all you people out there are all part of my recovery. And so thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
I'm Mike. I'm a sex addict from Baltimore. Dishonesty is a very, very difficult habit to break. And personally, I went to 3 treatment centers, spent 19 weeks in treatment, came out, did 90 and 90, did group therapy, did individual therapy, and at the same time, I was having 3 consecutive and overlapping affairs with women. And I gave my first step in active addiction. And finally, I got caught, and one very important man said to me, Michael, relapse is part of recovery. not a requirement, but, but it is part of recovery. And all I ask of you is to be honest. We're going to love you whether you're in addiction, out of addiction, as long as you're honest. And in June of 2009, I became honest and have been honest. And I think I mentioned in another meeting that I missed a year by 3 weeks, because 3 weeks ago I acted out. But within hours of acting out, I revealed it to my group. And to me, that was a big difference. Thank you.
I'm Barry. I'm a grateful recovering sex addict from San Antonio, Texas. I entered into a recovery program on July the 2nd of 2002 and remained sober for 6 years. And then I got into this I can handle it trick. And he stabbed me to the heart when he said it, because I thought I could handle it, left this, left the fellowship, and didn't work. So on April the 2nd of 2009, I began my sobriety again. And it's wonderful that I'm brutally honest with my wife now. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Andrew S. I'm a sexaholic. And I wish I could say I'm grateful to be here, but I'm not really right now. Sober since June 14th. I had a sobriety date that was quite a bit longer than that until recently, when I got honest with myself, my group, my daily check-in partner, and everybody else, and admitted that I'd been looking at stuff, looking at porn on the internet, not touching myself. So reset my sobriety date. I'd put that on my qualification, on my sobriety qualification. It's a breach of sobriety to use the internet for lawful purpose, and continued to do it without telling anybody afterwards. So I just want to bring out to the light some of the lies I told myself. I started doing this during a period when I was seriously stressed and I was put on medication for anxiety. And the first lie I told myself was I could handle it. The second lie I told myself was, in the past when I'd had brushes with lust, I'd have a horrible hangover from it, and I didn't when I was on medication. So I told myself, I feel okay, so I must be okay, so I'm sober. So I just want to bring that one out to the light and let it go. And then the other lie I told myself was, maybe I don't have to share every last detail about this. And I think that's really where I got in trouble, is by just deciding that I could go light on sharing. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
I'm Mike, a sexaholic from Davenport, Iowa. And I used to have myself deceived into thinking that I was extremely honest. Because any time I was caught and confronted, I would admit to it. You're right. I never denied it. It's just amazing how you just forget that, I've been hiding this for so long. That part didn't matter, because when I got caught, then I was honest. So I guess the key is I need to be honest with myself and with everybody else every day, not just when somebody forces me to. So that's all I got.
I'm Rick. I'm a sexaholic. I had occasion last night to review the 12 promises, and one of them that particularly stuck out was self-seeking will slip away. And I was reminded and amazed at how these promises are awarded to you. It's like a fruit that grows through, if you're diligent about this, painstaking about this phase of your development. And indeed, for me, when I'm not honest and don't have complete integrity, it's about saving face, minimizing any damage. So it's self on the throne. And I do find that if I'm diligent about working the steps and following this simple program, doing what I'm supposed to do, the fruit of that is I'm much more honest. And I can't work my way and purpose my way into being more honest. I'll always fail if self is still on the throne and I want to look good. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chaim, and I am a sex addict. I'm in the program less than 60 days now. I was sober in my own mind for 49 days, which definition I realized on Thursday was not really the definition of sobriety. My therapist had to point it out to me. And I think yesterday I realized, to say, now it's time. It's really more about that overcoming the lust aspect and really trying to work on that as well, not just the acts of acting out. And I am, right now, I'm struggling with, you know, fear of what's going to be. My wife wants to get divorced. I have 5 kids. I fucked everything up. And I have a double life, and I have to get out of that. I want to pray, but I came to being Orthodox from working on all these things, a very similar aspect. And, you know, it's very hard when you're trying to pray, but then at the same time you feel that you're not going to be answered. And something that's very hard, to be honest, if you really believe what you're praying or what's going to be. Anyways, thank you for listening.
Thank you. We've got time for 2 more.
My name's Omid. I'm a sexaholic. I'm from New York, and I just have a lot of anger here at the conference, and just resentment, and maybe it's just my own perceptions. It probably is. And I want to enjoy the conference, but it's a non-woman going around, and I'm sure they're nice ladies, nice people, but I did meet some really nice ladies, very nice. But, you know, just when I'm in the hallways, it's kind of hard, and there's a magazine in the room, and I have a lot of, I'm scared, and anger is an issue for me, and arrogance, and I don't know. I feel like God has all odds against me sometimes. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Brian. I'm a grateful recovering sexaholic from Ontario, Canada. I recently had to reset my sobriety date because technically I was able to lie to myself because I had maintained my sobriety. I, too, had looked at pornography on the internet, but hey, I hadn't done anything. I was still sober, and I was confronted by my wife, and I said, "No, I'm fine." And I lied to her, lied to my SA fellowship for months on end, and yet I kept reading in the literature about being rigorously honest. And it took her sitting down with me and saying, "I know what you've been doing." She found my history, and in retrospect, I'm so grateful that that happened because it gave me an opportunity to wipe a slate clean. That I have been given the gift of a second chance, one day at a time. So I don't have to lie anymore. I have a choice. I can be rigorously honest. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you.
I want to thank you all for coming and getting honest. That's really the basis of this program. And I want to thank you all for letting me and Lawrence chair this. And we helped me close the meeting with a serenity prayer.